And now the game where we ask people who excel at one thing to try something else. Yes, our children are all obese from the soda we give them, and when they grow up, there'll be no jobs for them, and the planet will be a sauna. Fine. But they still have it better than we did. They live in the golden age of animated movies, and the company responsible for this veritable renaissance of cartoons is Pixar, and one of the men responsible for Pixar is Pete Docter. He co-wrote or directed Toy Story, Monsters, Inc., WALL-E, and his latest film is Up. It's now out on DVD. Pete Docter, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey, thank you.
So the origins of Pixar are now shrouded in legend. But is it true that you got together with John Lasseter and some other guys, Joe Ramph, and other guys who founded the company and were like, we shall revolutionize animation forever?
Yes.
And you did it.
We made a big list of things that were going on in animation at that time that we wanted to avoid, like, you know, our little town songs and stuff like that. And we just made a thing, you know, a bunch of stuff that we wanted to try to do differently, and that's what we've been doing ever since.
So you were young guys, you were all animators, you all went to CalArts together, or many of you did. And what was your manifesto? Seriously, you were like, we're not going to do other than the cheerful town song. What did you not want to do? What did you want to do instead?
We all knew that animation was capable of so much more than the little box that had been put in. I mean, it was like little animated films meant Broadway musical style films about fairy tale creatures, and we wanted to do different stuff than that. So, plus, as we were starting, pretty much everything we started to do, whether we intended it or not, the characters all kind of looked like plastic. So we said, well, let's embrace that and make a whole film about plastic characters, and that's what became Toy Story.
You know, we got to take, when we were in San Francisco a few years ago, we got to take a tour of the Pixar studios, and we noticed there was free food everywhere. How are you guys not incredibly obese? Or are you obese? I can't see you right now.
That's right. That's the pleasure of being in animation. You can't see us.
Exactly.
Yeah. It was the inspiration for the humans in WALL-E.
Yeah.
So we just looked around.
None of us. Hey, does anybody remember what a chin looks like? I have to draw one. Some of your movies, I mean, for example, let's take Up, your last movie. How much did you research the whole premise of this movie, that somebody's house could be lifted by balloons?
Well, you know, that was one of the first things. Okay, so I work with, you know, a bunch of artists and basically NASA scientists. And so as soon as we came up with this idea of a house being floated by balloons, the guy who is actually working on the balloon simulation, that is the program that makes them all interact and move in the wind, the first thing he did was calculate, based on square footage of the house and the approximate weight, he calculated it would take, I think it was 26.5 million balloons to float a house for real.
Right.
That would be more than was in the movie.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Roughly.
Yeah. Right. So you decided, turns out clownfish can't talk either, so what the hell? It's not like you're going to ruin your reputation for verisimilitude.
That's right. So we just said, well, I know it takes 26.5 million, but let's just make it look good.
There you are. Did you research, I don't know, old people? What did you do? How do you research old people?
Okay, so we knew we couldn't just go and stare at old people. That would be suspicious.
Right? Okay, so you have a point.
A bunch of us play very loosely, but we play instruments. And so I brought my bass, Ronnie bought his ukulele, Bob brought his guitar, and we formed a little band. And we went and volunteered to play at this old folks' home.
Good evening, we're the Watchers.
And we have cameras inside our instruments pointed
That's
at
right.
you.
And so Ricky was our band leader, and we played, you know, like Tin Pan Alley type tunes, and they loved it. And secretly, we're all spying on them, you know.
One of the great things about Pixar movies is how incredibly real your very artificial worlds seem. They're filled with detail. Is that something that you have to, as the director, are on top of at all time? Are you the guy who has to say, no, in this instantaneous shot, you can see a letter and the postage stamp is wrong, so let's fix that? I mean, is that the level?
Absolutely. In fact, that very thing that you just mentioned happened in this last film where we Carl pulls a bunch of letters out of his mailbox, and one of the postage stamps was on upside down. And so we spent a lot of time going back and, you know, correcting that stuff.
Really?
Absolutely.
I just made that up. And that
it's all there.
Wow.
It's like you were here.
That's amazing.
Yeah, no, pretty much everything. I mean, you know, this, another example, Russell has all these badges, these different badges that he's collected. And, you know, we spent many a meeting coming up with what exactly are those badges. How do they look? What do they mean? He has first aid. He has second aid. He has, you know, master of disguise. He's got everything. So.
Really? Yeah. Doesn't anybody say when you're having these silly meetings, come on, no one's going to notice. These are, you know, we're doing these movies for eight-year-olds and sugar highs. They're too buzzed to know. They're all drinking soda pops in the movie theater. Come on, who cares?
No way. We make them for us. You kidding?
Absolutely.
One of the things that happened is you guys started, you were long ago part of Lucasfilm, and then you were this sort of organization Steve Jobs owned up in Northern California. You were away from the California movie business. And then, of course, Disney bought Pixar, and Pixar basically, John Lasseter now runs Disney Animation more or less. Do you ever see some of the things that Disney marketing, because they're geniuses, they're evil geniuses, but they're geniuses, do with your movies? I mean, do they, I mean, all the toys and games, is there anything that made you sort of a little queasy to see what's happened with your art?
Yeah, I mean, you know, from time to time, things we don't see eye to eye. But the nice thing is they do involve us. They come to us and ask our opinions we try to steer them right, you know.
Did they want a Carl Munz signature walker?
You know what? The thing that we were all excited about, and nobody got on board on this, was to make the collars for the dog so you could put it on your own dog and make them talk. Wouldn't that be cool?
That'd be totally cool because, of course, in the movie Up, all these dogs have collars that translate their thoughts into speech. So presumably, well, would it really work?
Well, I think...
Because I don't have a dog, but I put one on my daughter.
If it worked, it would be a,
lot of chit-chat
about steak, wouldn't it?
I know.
Yeah.
Steak and
believe me,
squirrels.
I own a bunch of dogs, and I know exactly what they think. It's squirrel steak, squirrel steak, steak.
Well, Pete Docter, we are so pleased to have you with us, and we have asked you here today to play a game we're calling...
Yes, we're building the world's tallest building on sand. What could possibly go wrong?
Over the holiday weekend, the company that basically owns the city-state of Dubai on the Persian Gulf announced it would not be able to pay its debts. You might wonder, what did they spend all that money on? So for you, three questions about the Sandy Oz that is Dubai. Get two right, you'll win a prize for one of our listeners. Carl's voice on their home answering machine. Carl, who is filmmaker Pete Docter playing for?
Pete is playing for Andrew Aaron of Beaver, Pennsylvania.
Ready to play?
Well, see, I was kind of hoping this would be about cartoon characters.
Yes.
That's about the only subject I know anything about.
That's but, the
that's
one.
What, yes. That's why the game isn't called My Job.
Got it.
All right. Here's your first question. One of the problems of making Dubai into an international destination for jet setters is the climate. It's in the desert. It gets up to 110 degrees every summer. But when borrowed money is no object, people come up with some innovative solutions, such as what? A, refrigerating an entire beach so it's cool enough to walk on. B, towing a genuine iceberg from the North Atlantic into Dubai Harbor every April. Or C, putting an enormous square mile-sized sunshade up in the air supported by blimps.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Well, I like the blimp story, but I'm going to go with the beach, just because I seem to remember seeing something about that.
Yeah, refrigerating an entire beach?
Yeah.
You're right. That's what they do.
All right.
The beach in front of the Palazzo Versace Hotel is refrigerated from below. Why? To quote a source at the hotel, this is the kind of luxury that top people want. Here is your next question. Not all big projects in Dubai are on hold because of the finance crisis. The architect of the rotating towers, that will be a towering skyscraper, 80 stories, each of which individually rotates. He says his building will be going forward and will be finished next year. There is one catch, though. What is it? A, it's going to be a tenth of its planned size and will be sold as luxury housing for pets. B, he says it's going to be built by the end of 2011, but he won't say where because he wants to, quote, keep it a surprise. Or C, instead of the building rotating, viewers of the building will be able to stand on a small rotating platform nearby, which he says will be just as good.
I'm going to go for the location being a surprise.
You're right.
Whoa.
Architect David Fisher says, you bet. We're going to build my 80-story individually rotating building. I just can't tell you where. But it's going to be there pretty soon. Oh, this is great. Let's see if we can go for perfect.
Whoa.
One of the top nightclubs in Dubai is called Plastique. It's in one of the hotels. It advertises itself how? A, the place to see and be seen, but only if you're worth seeing. B, if you don't know about us, we don't want you here. Or C, exclusively for the filthy rich and aesthetically perfect.
I'm going to go for the filthy rich.
The filthy rich. You're right again.
Wow.
Amazing. That line came from a news article about it, but the club proudly embraced the line, uses it in its ads. Carl, how did Pete Doctor do?
Pete did very well, Peter. Three correct answers. He was perfect, so he wins for Andrew Aaron.
Amazingly
right.
Well done. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Pete Doctor wrote and directed Pixar's Up, the DVD of which is out now. Pete Doctor, what a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for the great movies, and thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for watching.